Hello, it is March 8th, 2016. You are looking live at Athens, Georgia. This is episode 551 of the Will Leach Experience podcast on sports and earth. I am the aforementioned Will Leach, and I thank you for spending part of your day with me. We have a surprise podcast today. Last week, I wrote a piece about Major League Baseball replay for Sports on Earth and how, generally speaking, I felt it was getting a little out of hand and that replay is good but needs to be used as a scalpel, not like a machete. Speaking specifically to the new idea that the neighborhood play is reviewable, which I disagree with. I wrote a piece saying so. Brian Kinney, he is the host of MLB Now on MLB Network and MLB Tonight as well. Long time, smart fella. Man after my own heart. I mean, literally, he's trying to eat my heart with a fork. He read my piece and thought, I like that Will Leach chap, but he is full of horse snoot. So he wrote a piece for Sports and Earth that went up on Monday, March 7th, refuting some of my ideas. And today, we are going to discuss it. I'm talking to Brian Kinney at his desk at the MLB Network Studios. I suspect we agree on things more than we disagree, so do not expect Bissinger-esque fireworks. We're just a couple of baseball chaps talking baseball stuff. So here is Brian Kinney. Make sure to watch all of Brian Kinney's stuff on MLB Network. You cannot follow on Twitter because Brian Kinney is smart and he got his ass off of Twitter like a smart person. Anyway, here is Brian Kinney. All right. First off, Mr. Kinney, thank you for doing this. I'm excited to have you on. I've been wanting to have you on for a while, and it took this blood feud that has boiled to the surface between us to finally have the face-off that people have been waiting for us both to have for years.
It's about time someone took the bat to your knees, pal, and showed you what's up.
Okay. I give. It's all yours. You win. I'm sorry. Okay, so I suspect that you and I actually agree a little bit more on this than it might necessarily think. But just to remind everyone who's listening, the idea, I wrote a piece in response to the neighborhood play, which I think is probably the thing we disagree on the most, saying that in a lot of ways, as exciting as replay was, and as much as I think among a lot of people, yourself included, had been yelling for a long time, there needs to be robot umps now, we need replay. I think in practice, the fear is there's a footballization of baseball replay.
Right.
That is my personal fear. So, but there are certain. But I want to go over what I know we agree on first. So, post plays at first base, home runs, whether a home run went over the fence, stuff like that. We obviously both agree there should be replay on that. Yes.
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 And I would say, as I wrote in my counterpoint to you, that I felt the way the emotions that you expressed. I felt the same way years ago. It was odd because I'm usually very much, you know, think of myself at the vanguard of the revolution. Mm-hmm. But there I was, like on ESPN Radio when I was there back in the day, and I think Jason Stark and Tim Kirchen were kind of always pro replay. This was probably 10 years ago, and my fear was definitely that NFL sort of where it becomes like a court case.
Right.
You know, did he catch? Did he make a football move? Was it a catch? When is a catch? Did he break the plane? And all this nonsense that just goes against the spirit of the game. And I have to say, I was and again, I watch a ton of baseball here at MLB Network. Mm-hmm. We watch, you know, all games all day long. I mean, I'm immersed in it. And I was stunned, and I was completely wrong in that it did not turn that in baseball at all, with the exception of the one thing that I cited, which was
yes.
The transfer rule. That's an example of, as you wrote, the ghost of the machine. Oh, no, where did that come from? But other than that, I think it's just been a tremendous success. So I'm just saying, I felt that too, and seeing it implemented, I thought, wow, I was really wrong on that.
And I think a lot, the big stuff like that, you're right. And to me, I was encouraged when they call it the secured possession rule. Once they fixed it, after that first month, it was like, we don't know what a catch is. They came back and they fixed that, which was good. And that's what I was hoping to see a little bit. Frankly, I was hoping to see that in one of the two things that I don't think replay works with. One is already going on. I'm curious thoughts on this. What do you think of we saw this in the playoffs last year, I think with Kane. I think we saw this with I believe we saw this in the Royals Blue Jays series when there was a stolen base, this regular play, common play in baseball. Obviously, one of the most exciting plays in baseball is a stolen base. So the idea now fielders are being encouraged to keep the glove on the runner in case in the natural act of stealing his foot, even just for a half a second, comes off the base. Now, on one hand, I understand it. Like, hey, your foot's supposed to be on the base the entire time. So therefore, if it's off, technically speaking, you're out if the ball's on you. On the other hand, we're talking about people actually, if you slide off the base, yes, you're out. But if you are in the process of getting up and your foot goes off the base, my question is, yes, technically speaking, if you slow it down to a frame-by-frame basis, you're out. But how does that actually tell us? Like, that doesn't tell us anything about baseball. That tells us about if you slow down a video to one frame or a little bit. It doesn't tell us whether the base was stolen fairly. It doesn't tell me whether the runner got away with something because they slowed out of the baseline. All it does is tell us this one very specific pedantic thing. Oh, his foot was off the base. So even though he clearly stole the base, because we now have this technology that can show us, oh, there was a split second where his foot went off while he was stepping up and the ball was on him, he's out. Do you think that rule should be changed, or are you still happy with that rule?
No, I'm incredulous as you're going through all these machinations of, you know, listen, your foot's got to stay on the base. How hard is that? Like, we're taught that in Little League. I hate to go Little League on you, but when you're taught, like, there's always one wise guy who kept his, you know, glove on you, and you're like, up, 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 and the coaches would be yelling, stay on the base, stay on the base. Well, these are major leaguers. Stay on the base. It's not that hard.
Yes, but there have been tons of times throughout, like, the actual moment, I'm not talking about like you don't slide off the base, of course, but when you are coming up for a slide, if there's a brief moment where your foot is off the base for just a half a second.
Well, it can't be. Can't be. Now, if you want to go next level and say, listen, I might be reacting to the days when those bags were softer. You know, there was through the history of Major League Baseball, they used to be sacks.
Right.
You know, they called the sacks are full.
Right.
So maybe, look, if you wanted to say to me or for someone like in the competition committee or with, you know, in Joe Torre's office, we're saying, hey, you know what? Actually, it's not as easy as that because these things are, the bases are hard as rocks now. It's not like when, you know, Marty Marion was sliding into second. I hear that it might be slightly different, but basically, you know what? There should be no nonsense neighborhood, well, spirit of the, listen, if you're on the bag, you can't be tagged out. If you're off the bag, you can be, and that's all there is to it.
But see, that is my argument. That, to me, starts veering into football-esque territory, when we are like, if there's an exact moment, sure, if there's an exact moment, everything happened, which brings us to our neighborhood play, which is, I think, what started this conversation and what inspired my column in the first place. On the one hand, and yes, obviously, it's not second base. It's just like every other base. You need to have the ball in your hand, touching it, and then throw to first base. And the reason the neighborhood play was put together, in one hand, was, yes, to avoid these takeout slides in the second base to protect the fielder when the base runner could come at them from all directions. Well, you saw Terry Collins, the New York Mets manager. I'm curious what your thoughts of his thing. His concern was, I think there's two ways to look at this. One is safety and one is spirit of the game. Let's talk safety first. Safety, Colin, that is Colin's concern. His argument is, wait, now we're saying that, hey, runners, you have to go into the base. And, hey, fielders, you have to stand on the base. Which his argument is there's going to be collisions there. That is the definition to be more collisions. There's no way for them to get out of each other's way. And particularly when, as we saw with the Utley play, I tended to be more of a defender. Not so much a defender in Utley as much as it is this happens all the time. And now they've banned it, which is good. And now they've overturned his span, which is also good. But my point is when you know, at a certain level, if they're coming into the base at the same time, it happens so fast. Like, it's happening so quickly. It's hard enough to make this play happen and to make this pivot happen. But then to now have to – they're now coming at the same place now as made the law and the rules make them go to the same place. Doesn't it feel like maybe there's going to be – just first off, on the safety level, doesn't it feel like there's going to be more collisions there now?
I don't think so. Now, maybe I'm proven wrong on that. Maybe what we're going to see is something different. But I think what we're going to see, Will, is as a middle infielder, you now know that this runner has to, unless he cheats, and hopefully he gets bagged for it, and there's a double play, you should know that, hey, spirit of the game, what this guy is going to do is slide straight into the base. Maybe he goes a little past it. Maybe he's a little to the right, a little to the left, because, you know, there's going to be a little bit of wiggle room for a natural slide. But basically, he's sliding straight up. Knowing that, I think it goes into more of those rules of the middle infield pirouette, meaning I can dance over the top of it, go to my right, go to my left, back up. I can do all sorts of things because I know that runner is, at the very least, if they enforce this rule, supposed to go straight into the bag and maybe a little bit past it. I think once you know that, then we have what ball players for decades have been trained to do for 100 years is you do a little hop, skip, and jump over the bag, which means you gotta touch it while the ball is in your glove, but then you are free to dance to the left, dance to the right, and that guy now, the difference is he can't follow you and crush you or break your leg.
Okay, and I think I'm not sure which one of us is right on that, but I'm willing. I grant that it could possibly be that way. I don't think either one of us really knows, but I think it's possible. I think it's possible you're right. I think it's possible that I'm right. But when it comes to the actual – here's where the inspiration of my column was this idea. Now we're talking about this pivot or this pirouette or this – you know, I showed some great plays throughout baseball history, the famous Ozzie Smith double play and some of the other great double plays we've seen. These plays now being reviewable, this means that, you know, the foot is going to touch the bag for a split second, just an absolute tiny, tiny, tiny second. So, and the point that yes, the individual eye could not actually be able to tell, and a camera will be able to. But the problem is the actual movement. Like, remember, you have to get the ball out of the glove. Are there times where the ball, like, have we decided if the ball is out of the glove, or if it's inside the glove, or if he's up and if he's jumping up in the air to throw to first? Like that, you have to find that. It feels against the spirit of a double play to say it almost feels like luck for the fielder. Like the fielder just has to hope that his natural movement just happens to get to the point because he's already sprinting to the base to get there. So yes, on routine double plays, this will be very simple because he'll have the ball as he's coming over to the base. But anytime there's a close play, it almost feels like it'll be luck for him to actually be able to have the ball at that exact moment he's stepping exactly on the base and then shifting over to third or first.
I would say this, Will. I think you might be onto something. I sense you're not right, that you're overstating the impact. However, there will be data. Like, let's see, let's give it half a year. Let's look at the first month because there's a lot of games being played, and then let's follow it, not to overreact or drive the commissioner to react again, but what Major League Baseball should do is monitor, what's the double play rate? What's a normal double play rate? Have we lost a lot? And now you might be, if you tell me, hey, BK, double plays are down 20%, at the All-Star break, okay, now we're saying, hey, what did we lose here? Did we lose it because of this rule? But I'll just back up one and say one thing. Like, a lot of times I learn a lot about a sport when I'm watching with someone who is not totally immersed. Like now, my wife is a big baseball fan, but she will ask me frequently, you know, questions. And I remember this had to be like 15 years ago. I think we're just watching a Yankees playoff game, and she said, "Hey, did that guy even touch second base?" And I said, no, not really. And she goes, "Well, why not?" "Well, it's the neighborhood play." "Well, what's the neighborhood play?" "Well, you just got to be in the neighborhood." "Well, why is that?" "Well," and as you go down that path, you realize this makes no sense. I'm explaining nonsense. "Well, does the catcher get to do that?" "No." "Does the first?" "No." "Does the, what about a third base?" "No." "Why is that guy?" "Well, you know, it's just kind of the way it's been, and it really makes no sense, but we just kind of like it." No, it makes no sense. When you have to explain it to someone like, you know, that doesn't watch every day a day and isn't totally immersed in our nonsense culture, you realize this makes no sense.
But I feel like the common sense argument can go both ways. Can be the idea that, like, wait, what does it matter if his foot comes off the bag for just a second? He clearly stole the base. Or what does it matter? The ball was clearly there before he got there. There was a brief second where the ball was being transferred to one hand, and it happened to be at the exact moment.
Well, what's your rule? Like, is it a foot? Is it 6 inches? Can you be near it? Can you just kick over it? Can you go through it? You can't even defend it. Like, what is your rule? Like, how close is close enough in your neighborhood?
But by that rationale, the catch rule, like, there's no way to actually tell what it catches. Even the secured possession rule is kind of a fudge.
I disagree with that. Come on, we've never, you and I, before 2014, when this thing happened in April, you and I would never have an argument about, was that a catch, was that
agreed,
not a catch? You know,
totally.
Smack, it's in the glove, it's caught.
Agreed.
It's instantaneous.
Totally agree. But if you actually break it down the way that we're breaking this down, you really can't No, because there's always a split second where the ball may or may not be secured. What does it mean for the ball to be secured? That's the pedantry that I'm worried about with this.
Well, that's the part where you're right, and that's what I used in my counterpoint column, paraphrasing what I believe John Thorne said to me around that time. Because I asked him, he's Major League Baseball's official historian.
He's awesome, by the way. I love him.
Yeah, he's terrific because he understands where these rules came from in the 1860s and 1870s. And what he said was, look, the rules don't exist to be followed and to be parsed, you know, and to be studied and getting into a legalese as to what this word could, may or may not mean. The rules are there to enforce what you believe it should accomplish. And so you're right. If we get caught up with, well, did you secure the ball? So no, forget that. Did you have the ball? Yes or no, quickly. And the other part is, though, I will be a stickler for it if I was the league office and if I was in Chelsea and I was looking at a replay of a White Sox Indians game in May, I would be a stickler for, hey, was the ball in your glove when you kicked the bag? If you kick the bag, then get the ball, guess what? Safe. And if you don't think you can do both at the same time, then get the force play and you got no double play. It's that simple.
But I feel like the reaction to that play in the ALCS last year when they called him out on that stolen base was universally negative because he was clearly safe and he was clearly there and he clearly stole the base.
But you got to clearly stay on the base. I mean, that's the new culture. Hey, clearly stay on the base. We're not asking Lorenzo Cain to do anything we wouldn't ask an 11-year-old in a local Little League.
Yes, but this is Major League Baseball. This is happening at a much faster rate than Little League is happening.
Stay on the bag. No, you're not asking too much to stay on the bag, are you?
I think when something is happening at that speed, and the same thing with the neighborhood play, this is happening at an incredibly fast speed that you need to understand the spirit of the play. And to me, that's why I like what I'm hoping. And listen, I'm maybe wrong on this. There are smart people like you that disagree with me on this. So, but I sort of feel like I hope that they look at this. It's only going to take two or three. Oh, what an amazing double play. Wait, reviewed. Oh, come on. We're turning it over for that. Just like we've done with the stolen bases.
I'll tell you this, Will, because I hear you. When they first put in the replay rule, they said no neighborhood play. And I have to say, I was cool with that. Yeah. I'm not like I have not been like ranting and raving over the neighborhood play for, you know, the last 30 years, going back to my days on Channel 62. I have not been that guy. But then the first time, again, we watch just about every replay that's challenged at MLB Network. The first time I saw them actually make a ruling, actually, no, he's safe. And I went, wait a second, neighborhood play, that's not reviewable. They said, yeah, well, that wasn't the neighborhood play because the throw drew him off. I'm like, oh, hold on. Where did that come from? So you can see it's already a slippery slope. So you're better off just applying it to the actual spirit is. The spirit of the game, I would argue, Will, is that you need to have the ball in your glove or in your hand and touch the base. Now he's out. If that doesn't happen, and it happens at the same doesn't happen at the same time, there's no out recorded. It's that simple. I don't think that violates the spirit of the game.
Yeah, and my fear is it's going to make a really, really cool play in baseball, which is double play, this kind of halting, almost awkward exercise. And that, I may be wrong, but that is that once I think we're going to see a lot in the first month. I think it's going to be interesting to see after the first month if we do what we did with the catch rule. If there's this big outcry, as we clearly saw with the catch thing, which I have to say, I do find the catch play more ridiculous than both the neighborhood play and the stolen base. Like, they clearly had to change that.
You know what I would be interested in? I'd need to, because I've spoken to a bunch of guys about this, you know, over the last few months. Cal Ripken, Tim Flannery was second baseman for a number of years. He's the third base coach for the Giants, and he works for us now at the network. There are different ways of teaching that. And maybe we will see, instead of kind of the shortstop doing that dance crossover, maybe it's a jab step and step back toward the third base side. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I bet you there are ways that the craft of infielding could take care of this. I'd love to, like, talk to, like, here's something you and I, an intrepid reporter, could do. Mm-hmm. Like, talk to Bill Mazeroski or talk to, you know, Ozzie Smith about the craft of how did you decide either to dance over to the first base side or plant on the base and pivot back toward third base and make that throw, you know, off your back foot, which is very doable. That I think the craft of it might have to change a bit. That, yeah, you can't do this little dance and expect the ball to meet you at the exact point as you dance over the top of it and skate, but you have to kind of plant and then pivot back. And now you should be allowed to plant off the base, reverse your field back toward third base in one motion. You're still on your strong leg, so you can make a throw, knowing that that runner then can't, knowing you're going to do this, right? He'll know you. He can't veer off and just crush you because you're going to be flat-footed.
That's fair. I'm curious to see. I'm going to suspect there will be a lot of reporters talking to a lot of former shortstops and second basemen the first month of the season. Because I think this is – I generally feel like this is – whether you agree with this rule or whether you don't agree with this rule, I suspect this is going to be a major story the first month of the season.
This is fascinating because I don't think so. And this is now we have to see what our I love doing this, and I know you do too. And this is why I really do. I love reading your columns, and I ordinarily agree with them because you and I are aware of confirmation bias. And you also always have to be aware of, hey, wait a second. And I learned this from boxing. What were you saying before the fight? Like, go back. What were you saying? Oh, because after the fight, everybody knows how it was going to turn out. I knew that Lewis would knock Tyson out around the ninth round. It's like, no, you didn't. You weren't saying that before the fight started. So you always have to think, hey, what were you thinking before? So this would be an interesting test where I think double plays might be down slightly, but I think Kraft will take care of it. And I don't think it's I don't think people will be up in arms. Right. So it'd be fascinating to see where that lays.
Well, I've been covering politics on the side for the last couple of months. I assure you, political reporters are just as bad as sports reporters are. Like, oh yeah, we knew Trump was going to do that. Of course, we totally knew that. Everybody does that right after.
Oh, those guys are much worse.
They are.
I wouldn't even insult sports reporters to say that they're almost as bad. Those guys are the worst. So yeah, go ahead in that whole area and just clean up. You know, with your already reporting skills and your knowledge of culture will just vault you right ahead.
All right, sir. It's been a delight talking to you. I enjoyed the piece. I hope we continue to see you more. I always love it when you grace us on Sports on Earth, and even if it's to tell me that I'm wrong.
All right, this was good. And listen, you're still the cranky old codger, and I'm the league stooge and defender of Park Avenue. If that's our lot in life, I'm willing to accept it.
Cranky old codger. From Deadspin to cranky old codger. A career in three.
It doesn't take long, huh?
It doesn't at all. All right, Brian, thanks a ton, man. I appreciate it. I'm sure I'll see you next time I'm out there.
All right, take care, Will.
Cool, be safe. All right, well, thank you to Brian Kinney. That was very fun. I think, obviously, I won that exchange and did not cower, and I'm not crying right now. Anyway, thank you to Brian Kinney. That was really fun. I'm very glad to finally have him on. So we'll be back again a couple days later this week with Joe Nocera, who is the author of the new book Indentured. We'll be talking about that book later on, and then we'll be doing we'll be back with Allison Futter next week, and then a big NCAA preview podcast. It's our annual A Bit with Matt Norlander, so that will be a blast as well. But otherwise, please subscribe to us on iTunes. Please give us a nice review. Get us on that front page of iTunes, like the Greatest and Least podcast. Otherwise, have a great week. I'll talk to you all in a couple days. Bye.